Good morning. It's lovely to be sharing with you again. I pray that wherever you're listening to this, that the Lord will bless you and encourage you and challenge you from His Word. We've been spending some time over the last few weeks looking at some of the amazing miracles of Jesus that we read about in the Gospels. And it's been great to hear that many of you have also experienced miracles in your own lives. Last week I shared with you the miracle that I experienced when my little sister threw a piece of glass and it cut my eye. If you weren't with us and you're wondering what I'm talking about, you can listen to last week's message, the one about casting out the evil spirit. But I must tell you, it occurred to me this week that I've never really talked to my mum about the details of what happened that day. The few things that I shared with you last week were all that I knew about what had happened. Well, this week I talked to my mum and I learned some new things that I've never known. Like, I never knew why I didn't remember anything about Dad. Well, he was playing cricket that afternoon. I also didn't know that my mum was pregnant with my younger brother and very morning sick. And looking back now that I'm also a mum, I thought this week, how awful must that day have been for my mother? But there was a lovely thing that I learned this week. When the surgeon came out of the theatre after he had performed the operation, he said to my parents and the pastor of our church, who was there too, "I've done all I can. The rest is up to God." And my mum told him that there were people everywhere praying for him and for me. I hope that the miracle that occurred in my life somehow impacted him too. There have been a lot of people praying in the last few weeks that a little girl who had been taken from her family's tent in Western Australia would be found. And after 18 days of waiting, wasn't it wonderful to see a picture of her smiling face sitting up in a hospital bed eating an ice block? We've heard a lot of people in the media say miracles do happen, even people who wouldn't call themselves Christian. For us, though, it's not just words. We know it to be true, don't we? Miracles do happen. Our God is a God of miracles. But sometimes the miracle doesn't happen in our timing. Sometimes, like there was with little Cleo, there's a wait involved. I wonder how many of you have experienced that. You've prayed for a miracle, but you've had to wait for an answer. Maybe you're waiting now. This morning we're looking at an amazing miracle. Jesus raised a man from the dead. His loved ones asked Jesus for help, but they had to wait for Jesus to act. In fact, Lazarus had been dead 4 days before Jesus acted. If you have your Bible with you, turn to John's Gospel. We're reading from chapter 11, verse 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus, telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." Mary and Martha are mentioned a couple of times in the Gospels. They were sisters who lived at Bethany, which is just out of Jerusalem. They were close friends of Jesus, opening their home to him on a number of occasions. In Luke's Gospel, we're told about the different ways the two sisters worshipped Jesus. Mary sat at his feet. Martha was a doer. John tells us that this was the same Mary that poured expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with his hair. Well, it seems they had a brother, Lazarus, who was very sick. So they sent a message to their friend Jesus. "Jesus, we need some help." Let's keep reading. Verse 4. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Jesus said, I know it's looking bad, but it's not going to end up the way you think. He said, no, it is for what? The glory of God. Mary and Martha were facing a dreadful situation. Their beloved brother was very sick. In fact, he was dying. But Jesus looked at the situation and said, okay, I know things don't look good, but actually, there's more going on here than what you can see. I've got a divine strategy. And when we're through this, everyone will say, what happened couldn't have happened except for the hand of God. And they'll give God the glory. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe there's something going on in your life that isn't good. Maybe you're sick, or someone you love is sick. Maybe there's conflict in your relationships, or you're struggling financially and you're saying, my life wasn't meant to be like this. Things are going the wrong way. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. And you're praying. Maybe you feel like you're on your knees day and night, and it feels like God is ignoring or not hearing your prayers. Think about this. Jesus said it then. Maybe he's saying it now. This sickness will not end in death. I've got a divine strategy. And when I'm through, it's going to be undeniable that my hand has been involved, and everyone will worship me. Let's read the rest of the story. We're reading from verse 5. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Verse 11. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Verse 20. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Amazing story. What I want to do this morning is just spend a little bit of time looking at 3 different characters in the story. We'll first look at Thomas, who was known for what? Thomas was known for always doubting. And he is doubting here. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to Bethany. Now, Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem. And if you read back just before chapter 11, right at the end of chapter 10, we're told that Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. He was preaching there, telling people that he was the Son of God. And verse 39 says, "Once again they tried to arrest him, but he got away and left them." Things were getting pretty tense in Jerusalem. And so understandably, when Jesus said he was heading back there, the disciples reminded him, "Have you forgotten? Last time you were there, they tried to arrest you. If you go back there, they could well kill you." And I might be wrong, but Thomas's answer to me seems very sarcastic. "Oh, great. Let's go back and we can all be killed." Maybe you can relate to that. Things aren't good. In fact, things seem to be getting worse. You know Jesus is there, but it doesn't feel like he's there. You're praying, but it seems like heaven is silent. And you find yourself wondering, "God, are you even there? Are you even real? And if you are there, are you the good God that everyone tells me that you are? And are you all powerful? Do you actually even have the power to answer my prayer? Because if you are there and you are good and you are powerful, then why aren't you doing anything? Why do I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? What's going on, God? I don't understand. Maybe like Thomas, you're struggling with very real doubts. Then there was Martha. Many of you, I'm sure, will be able to relate to how Martha was feeling. I know I can. Martha was struggling with the delay. What was the problem? Why was Jesus taking so long to do anything? Verse 17 says that when Jesus arrived, he was told that Lazarus had been in the tomb for how long? 4 days. He had been dead for 4 days. You see, there's dead and there's really dead. 4 days is really dead. After 4 days, the body would have been starting to smell. It even says that in verse 39. In fact, if you want to have some fun, find a King James version and read that verse. It says, "He stinketh." That is such a cool word. I'm going to use that. You stinketh. In verse 21, Martha said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You can hear Martha's frustration and disappointment, can't you? Lord, what took you so long? Why did you wait 4 days before coming? Some of you may be able to relate to Martha. You're in the delay. I'll never forget the pastor of our church when I was a teenager, standing in the pulpit and saying with tears in his eyes, "I have prayed for my son for 33 years, and this week he gave his life to Christ." For 33 years, this man had prayed for his son while he rejected God. He was in and out of prison and he lived the kind of life that breaks parents' hearts. For 33 years, that pastor lived with the delay. I'm praying. What are you doing, God? What's with the delay? Maybe you're there. You're praying for someone you love to come to know Jesus, or you're praying for healing for yourself or for someone that you love, and nothing. And you're saying to God, "What's with the delay?" Thomas was struggling with doubt. Martha was struggling to understand the delay. And then there was Mary. Verse 20 says that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But what did Mary do? She just stayed at home. Can you feel the discouragement? Why even bother? Nothing's going to happen. It's no use. Maybe you can relate to Mary. I know I can. I don't know how many people I've prayed for, and it seems like God is not answering. And the thought comes, why do I bother? God isn't doing anything. Maybe you felt like that too. Why even bother? Nothing's going to happen. It's no use. Thomas, struggling to have faith. Martha, struggling with the delay. And Mary, discouraged. So what did Jesus do with their doubt and disappointment and discouragement? Lazarus's family and friends were all gathered around the tomb, and they were deeply sad. They were grieving the loss of their beloved. Then look at verse 35. Jesus wept. And the people standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Think about that. Think about the irony of that. Here was the Son of God who was about to do what? Jesus was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that in the next moment he was going to speak and Lazarus would walk out of the tomb dragging his grave clothes, and yet he wept. Why? Because that's how much he cares for his children. That's how much. He was weeping because he was hurting. And why was he hurting? Because his children were hurting. There's a powerful counselling technique where someone who has had pain and suffering in their life is asked, "Where do you think Jesus was when that was happening?" Have you ever asked yourself that question? Where is Jesus when I am hurting? Where is Jesus when I am waiting? Where is Jesus when everything is falling apart? This story gives us the answer. He is right there with you, and he is crying and holding you until the tears go away. Some of you are in the season between the death and the power of the resurrection. You are in the delay. The doubts and disappointment are real. The delay is obvious, and you are struggling. During that time, Jesus will hold you until the tears go away. But never forget this. Never forget this, that God's delays are not God's denials. When the timing was right, Jesus stopped crying and said, "Lazarus, come out." We read about it over and over again in Scripture, in the lives of men like Joseph, Moses, Noah, Paul. God's delays are not God's denials. When the time is right, God will act and he will be glorified. And whilst God might act and you might experience miraculous healing or dramatic answers to your prayers, the miracle may happen in other ways too. The miracle may be the supernatural peace that you experience in the midst of your struggle. The miracle might be the way that you courageously battle your cancer and never stop caring about other people. The miracle might be the way you rise above your disability. The miracle might come 33 years later, when everyone else has given up on your boy. Jesus came that you might have life. This sickness will not end in death. Let's pray together. Maybe this morning you can relate to Thomas. You've got some significant doubts. Or maybe like Martha, you're in the delay and you feel like nothing's happening. Or maybe you're past that and you're like Mary. You're just saying, "What's the point?" Lord, we believe that we have the power of the resurrection available to us. But some of us are struggling. Life has dealt us some hard blows, and we're struggling to make sense of it all. If that's you, I want to pray for you now. I pray that the resurrection power of Jesus would touch your heart, touch your faith, touch your body, Touch your relationships. Touch your mind. Touch your attitude. I pray that you would see the divine strategy and that you would know in a very real way the presence of your Lord and Saviour holding you and weeping with you. I pray that you would know that for His glory, God is going to work. Maybe not exactly the way you want Him to. Maybe not exactly in your timing. But that He will act, working in all things to bring about good. The Lord bless you and keep you. Amen. Wherever you are listening to this message, we would love for you to join us as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. You know, there's nothing magical about the elements that we use. We use bread and juice. Others use wafers and wine. What the elements are doesn't matter. They are a symbol to remind us of our Lord's death and resurrection. So why don't you take a minute now, grab something that you can eat and drink to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Let me pray. Lord, we have marvelled at the miracle of Lazarus being raised to life after laying dead in a tomb. And as we've done that, we are reminded of another man who lay dead in a tomb for 3 days. But when the stone was rolled away from this tomb, it was empty. Lord Jesus, today we not only marvel at your power to raise a man from the grave, we also marvel that you chose a similar path for yourself. You willingly laid down your life, suffering pain and rejection and humiliation, all things that we deserve. Lord, we are so grateful that you took upon yourself the punishment and the death that should have been ours. And today we stop to remember, because you commanded us to. We stop and remember, and we say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your body, broken for me. Thank you for your blood, shed that I might have life. Amen. Take a moment in the quietness. Spend some time with your Lord. Eat and drink in your own time. And let this simple act remind you of all that your Lord has done for you.